All right. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. While you're doing that, I'll be trying to get situated. With Earl's chair. All right. Tonight, if I were to tell you that there is something greatly missing and even ignored in my Christian life, yet which is so absolutely essential, God would transform my life by it, would you want to know what it is? I believe the Scriptures are clear and plain about this and presents this as a key to the Christian life. And what we are referring to is meditation on the Word of God. Meditation on the Word of God. And I will say this, not meditating on the Word of God regularly and consistently has cost me greatly in my own Christian life. And I say that to my own shame. But in the last several years, God has shown me this quite vividly. And I have sought to correct this in the last number of years. I must say to you younger Christians tonight, and you older ones as well, but especially you younger ones, there is nothing else in the Christian life that will help me more than to meditate on God's Word and let Him show me what is in my heart. This truth is really not understood by God's people today. Meditation is not simply reading the Scriptures. Now, reading the Scriptures will give us some knowledge of God's Word. But what we really need and what we really want is God speaking to me. And there is only one way to do this, and that's through meditation on His Word. God wants, above all else, to commune with me. He wants to instruct me, to comfort me, to correct me, to show me what is in my heart and what I need to get rid of and what I need to do to please Him. But above all those things, He wants to show me Himself. Himself. His ways, His thoughts, the way He looks at me, and for me to truly understand His great love for me. Now, simply reading the Scriptures will not accomplish this. Meditation is the key to understanding God's heart. And if we can understand God's heart, then each one of us can be what God wants us to be. Well, I guess that you figured out that these thoughts on meditation of God's Word and the series that we are taking up on Sunday nights on matters of the heart, well, these two things are very closely related. And I think you can see that. There are a number of Scriptures that deal with this crucial area of my life. And we're going to look at just one here in Psalm 119. And we're going to look at verse 10 in just a second. But before we begin reading, I want you to notice in these verses that we're going to read in Psalm 119, the use of the word heart in these verses. And note that there is also a logical progression, to these verses, although you may not detect it at first. Okay? So file those two things away in your mind. The use of the word heart and the progression of the verses that we're going to look at. Psalm 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Verse 15. I will meditate in Thy precepts. and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, if you notice in verse 10, there is a prerequisite. There is something that I, as a Christian, must do first before I even attempt to meditate on God's Word. And there is a reason that verse 10 precedes verse 15, which deals with meditation. So there is a specific order and progression in these verses. Now, the psalmist says in verse 10, with my whole heart, have I sought thee. Now, we need to understand this well, dear Christians. Before I even try to meditate on God's Word, I must first deal with my heart. If we do not, we absolutely will not hear and understand what God is trying to tell me. If I do not first deal with my heart in contrition before Him, I will not be able to spiritually understand what He is trying to tell me. The psalmist first said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Now that phrase, whole heart, indicates and implies that the psalmist first had to prepare and deal with his own heart before he could approach God and seek Him out in meditation in verse 15. So you have verse 10, verse 11, and then verse 15 in a progressive order. Now, before we go on to verse 11, let me point this out. If I, as a child of God, do not really have a desire, and I will not have a desire to meditate on God's Word until I start dealing with my heart. You know, meditation cannot be effectively used by God unless I have a prepared heart. And that makes sense, doesn't it? That makes good spiritual sense. Now, if I find that I have little appetite or desire to meditate on God's Word, and I'm afraid that many of us do not, then I need to do some honest-to-goodness self-examination of my heart. I need to ask God to show me my heart, what is in there, and then after discovering what is in there, then to judge it and confess it before God. The Bible teaches us that God cannot speak to me through meditation on His Word until the root of my heart is judged. We have to get a grasp on this. And as we have pointed out before, known sin is not the biggest problem that we have. That's a problem. And that's a problem that God wants us to deal with. But that's not our biggest problem. We have unknown, unrealized sin, which God is very concerned with. Now, do you remember Psalm 19 and verse 12, which I quoted Sunday night? Who can understand his errors? Now, the implied answer, that's a rhetorical question, is that no one can. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret sins. Now, first of all, concerning an unjudged heart, I will have no appetite for meditation to begin with. And secondly, if I do start, I will not continue with meditation. I'll soon give it up. Now, we observed this phenomenon with the Apostle Peter the other Sunday night. After his Lord's crucifixion, what was Peter doing? What was Peter doing? He had gone back to his former way of life. He had gone back to his fishing. And the Lord had to come to him and show Peter that Peter had to deal with his heart. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? This is always the Lord's way. Always the Lord's way. He will deal with my heart ever so gently, ever so compassionately, but He will seek to get me to deal with myself. Now, after this incident, Peter was greatly used by his Savior in establishing and building the early church. That was no coincidence. It is the same with us. God will lead me to face my heart, and as I respond to this, He will then give me the desire and appetite to do His will. We need to get an understanding of this fundamental principle. So we need to understand that I must first deal with my heart before God, and only then will God give me a strong, persistent desire to meditate on His Word. It doesn't happen by magic. You don't snap your fingers and it happens. God has His way. We must understand His way about this. Now note verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. This passage is frequently applied to the memorization of Scripture. And that application is totally valid. However, this passage has a broader, deeper application which has been neglected. The second half of this verse tells us the result of hiding God's Word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, will simply memorizing God's Word prevent me from sinning? No. I know unsaved people who have memorized portions of God's Word. They're still unsaved. I know Christians who have memorized portions of God's Word, yet their lives are frequently not representative of what they have memorized. Now here is the truth. Hiding God's Word is much more than Scripture memorization. Hiding God's Word in my heart consists of meditating on God's Word with a heart that has first been humbled and broken before Him. Otherwise, that Word will have little effect upon my soul. Otherwise, there will be no putting away of sin. Do you see this? Do you understand this? That Word, God's Word, must first find a lodging place in my heart. And it cannot find a lodging place. It cannot be hidden, as the psalmist refers to it, unless my heart is ready to receive it. Now, let me say this. Meditation is God's food for the renewed heart. As I deal with my heart, it is renewed. And as I meditate on His Word, God will feed me with His heavenly manna. Meditation is God's food for the renewed heart. Now, notice verse 15. Notice the progression. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will meditate in thy precepts. Now, note the force of the words, I will. I will meditate in thy precepts. Now, here is a determined child of God. This psalmist who wrote this, he was a determined child of God. He recognized that his lifeline to God was through a Spirit-led determination to meditate on God's Word. He said, I will. Now, again, I have to say that this can only come through a man or a woman who has dealt with his heart before God. The heart is the center of my will. The heart is the center of my will. I simply cannot have the will until I come before God and expose it to God, asking Him to judge it and to reveal it to me. Now, verse 32 illustrates this truth beautifully when we properly understand it. Look at verse 32. It says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, what is this passage saying? First of all, the first half of this verse says, I will obey you, I will submit to you when something happens. You see that? He says, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, the meaning of this phrase seems to key on the meaning of the Hebrew word enlarge. This word means to open wide. To open wide. Okay, let's put this together then. Who is the thou in this verse, in verse 32? Well, that would be God, isn't it? Yes. Notice the progression of this verse. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to place the second half of this verse at the beginning. In other words, reverse the order of the verse. How would it read if you did that? It would read, when thou, that is God, shall enlarge my heart, I will run the way of His commandments, of thy commandments. Now, this helps us to understand what is happening here, doesn't it? And the progression of it. Listen carefully. When God enlarges and opens wide my heart to Him, then and only then will I run the way of His commandments. In other words, obey Him. Do you see this? When thou shalt enlarge my heart, what happens? I will run the way of God's commandments. God first enlarges and opens wide my heart, and then I will go His way and obey Him. And how does He open wide my heart? How does He do that? When I expose it to Him. When I expose it to Him. Do you see these things? Now, let me ask you a question. Will God open wide, will He enlarge my heart without my permission? Well, you say, well, no. God created me with the freedom of choice, a free will. Well, yes, yes. Now, I as a Christian of my own free will must first open and deal with my heart before Him. Then He will open wide my heart to obey Him. It says, when thou, O God, shall enlarge my heart, I will run the way of thy commandments. He will show me, He will teach me my own heart first. And then I will have a desire to submit to Him, to put off those things which grieve Him, and give me a heart with the proper motivation for service. Now, how will He accomplish this? How does He accomplish this? How will He do these wonderful things in my heart? He will do this as I meditate, as I ponder, as I question my own heart in His Word. There is no other way, dear Christian. There is no other way. Meditation in His Word will allow God to show me the things that I need to know about Him. His ways, His thoughts, the way He looks at me, and the way He does the things that He does in my life circumstances. And above all this, He also will instruct me, He will correct me, He will comfort me, and He will console me. And He will show me what is in my heart so that I will know how I, just me, nobody else, just me, can please Him. Now, what I would like to do is think about some practical ways that I, as a Christian, can do to meditate on God's Word. Now, I do hope you see the tremendous importance of meditation in God's Word. It is an integral part of the Christian life. We have forgotten this. We don't have a grasp of this any longer. Now, what are some practical ways that I can do this? Well, I can give you some methods that have helped me. And as you go along, I'm sure that God will show you what is best for you. But let's look at some of these things together. First of all, I go into meditation with a certain mindset. First of all, my mind is thinking this. It's saying, Lord, show me the things in me which are not pleasing to You. Lord, change my personality by showing me my deficiencies, my shortcomings, and my weaknesses. And then further, I try to go into meditation with this attitude. Lord, what am I blind to? What am I blind to? What sins and weaknesses am I unaware of? What would You have me, just me, to do that I am not doing? So I'm looking for God to deal with my heart and my heart alone. So that's my mindset when I go into meditation. Now, the way I go about meditation is to go to a book of the Bible that has spoken to my heart in a meaningful way. Now, you know, for me, that would include just about all of the New Testament and especially the book of Psalms. For you, it's other books have different impacts with different Christians. But you can do this with the entire Word of God. But what I do is I read through a section of Scripture until I come to a verse or verses that really get my attention. Now, these are not verses that are simply interesting to me, but they are a verse or a verses which speak directly to my own heart and soul. They've got my attention. I then stop right there. I don't go any further. I stop right there. And I think about them. And many times I might ask God, Lord, is this me? Is this me? Is this something I need to get rid of in my life? Or, Lord, do I need to make this more a part of my life? So as you start asking yourself questions before the Lord, the more the Spirit of God shows you what you need to change in your heart and in your life. Now, it may be an attitude. It may be a certain weakness or failing that I may have. Or it may simply be God wishes to comfort me or to show me His mind about a matter. Or and even how I should be thinking about Him. Now, let me give you an example of how this would work. If I was meditating on the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 22. Now, many of you are familiar with that, and I'm going to read it to you in case you're not. It would go like this. Now, Galatians 5:22 says this. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, what I would do is then go to each of these nine virtues, which are listed in Galatians 5:22, which comprise the fruit of the Spirit. And I would ask myself before the Lord, Lord, is there love in my heart and in my dealings with my wife, with my brothers and sisters in Christ, with my children? And as I ask these questions before God, His Spirit shows me my heart. Well, He may say, Gibby, you're weak here. You need to correct that. And I then might look at gentleness. And I'd ask God, Lord, am I gentle? Am I gentle? Am I gentle toward my wife? Toward my children? Toward God's dear children? Again, the Lord may speak to me and say, you know, son, you need to be more aware of your lack of gentleness in your heart. And you should be very aware of this and careful in your dealings with the ones that you love. You see that? You see this? God can speak to you through His Word. But it has to be with a prepared heart. So this is simply a way to go about meditating in God's Word. Again, you know, I'm referring to reading a section of the Bible until God arrests your attention on one verse or a group of verses. But the mindset and the attitude that I described to you, you know, I believe God would all have us employ. Dear Christians, I do hope that you see that meditation in God's Word is not an option in the Christian life. It's not an option. It is our only true, effective connection to God's communicating to my heart. Yes, He can use the preaching of His Word. Yes, He can do that. Yes, He can use circumstances in your life. Yes. And yes, He can use other Christians. Yeah, He can do that. But meditation on His Word, this is God's primary, powerful, chief way that He desires to communicate with me personally. And there is no other way. And we try a lot of different ways. Now, if I have little appetite for it, little desire for it, then let me take my heart to God and deal with it and judge it before Him. As we see in Psalm 119 here, this is God's way. Now, let us never forget that meditation in God's Word is God's food for the renewed heart. We can't forget that. There is no other way that will please God, and there is no other way that will make us what God wants us to be. So let each one of us feed on that heavenly manna so that our Savior will be glorified. I pray that you'll make meditation in God's Word a part, an integral part of your Christian experience. And I can promise you from the Word of God that if you will do this, you will find untold joy and peace in your heart that's unexcelled, that you may have never experienced before. Now, that's quite a claim. You'll also find that you will be doing what God would have you to do in His service, in your worship, in your prayer life, because it influences your entire Christian life, not just part of it, all of it. It will make you a man or woman of God. Think about these things. Pray about these things. I believe Earl has some prayer requests for us.